Hello, everybody. Welcome, welcome. For some of you who have been on our called live this week, this is our third time together this week. It's good to be with you. And if you haven't made our other calls, we had our level two clinic call yesterday on Monday. We had a great conversation with Monica Shaw about money mindset, and I highly recommend listening to it. And today we are here to continue our module on how to help clients through when they're stuck, when they come up on obstacles, all of that. And it's the last call of this particular very, very large module. And the specific topic for today is creating accountability and accountability structures in your coaching with your clients. Accountability, in my opinion, is a really, not for all clients, but for a lot of clients, it can be a really important component of why they hire a coach. So first, let's just define what accountability is, just so that we're all on the same page of what I even mean when I'm talking about accountability. So simply put, in coaching, accountability is when your client is able to take action on the inner and or the outer tasks or action steps that they've committed to. It's when they take action on the things that they've committed to for themselves, right? Inner or outer, whatever those actions are. And when I say inner or outer, you know, it might be moving towards changing their diet, right? That might be outer. Inner might be journaling, right, or whatever it is. Maybe they had said they wanted to meditate every day. Maybe they want to take naps a couple of days a week, right, whatever it is for them. So taking action on the tasks, inner or outer, on the actions that they've committed to. So that sounds easy enough, right? Well, of course. We all know that it is not easy to take action on the things that we want to take action on sometimes, right? Even if we've had a great breakthrough around why we want to do this thing and why it's important, even if we've had an incredible breakthrough around what's been keeping us from doing it and what the shadows are and what the years are, right? It still can be hard to take action, to do what we say we're committed to doing. I hope you guys are with me on this, right? I'm not the only one that it's hard for, right? It's hard. It can be tricky for our clients and really for all human beings. Why? Why is accountability so hard? Because accountability almost always requires doing something differently than you've done before. And doing something differently than you've done before requires effort, even if it's something that you really want to do, even if it's something that you know is to your benefit, even if it's something that you've worked through the fears on. If it's new, if you haven't done it before, it requires some effort. And human beings are generally creatures of habit. They are not so great at putting forth effort to do things that they haven't done before. Now, some people are amazing at this, right? We all know people who can just say, I'm going to do something, and then they're accountable to it, and they do it. And those are great. And those kinds of clients are like, I don't know, they're like a dime in a dozen, like total pleasure clients, right? But for people in one way or another, or in one area or another, they have trouble holding themselves accountable. And that's one of the reasons why coaching can be so powerful for them, because it really is a trope, a mechanism to help hold accountability. And of course, when you're not accountable to the inner and outer actions that you have committed to, you run the risk of not making progress on your goals. So all of this is why it's so important for a coach to know how to work with accountability and how to create accountability with clients. Accountability, as I see it, is part of the coaching container. It's part of the full container. In Sacred Depths coaching, of course, we want to go deep to bring new awarenesses, to bring new understandings, visioning, all of that. But we also want to really help our clients actually work towards their goals. So what is a coach's role when it comes to client accountability? What is the role that we play? So I see it as twofold. The first is, as we've been talking about, we're there to help our clients take the actual action, inner or outer. But when you're coaching masterfully, the kind of bonus role in accountability is that you teach. The coaching and the coaching container doesn't only help hold clients accountable, but it helps teach them how to become more accountable to themselves. So it really builds the accountability muscle overall for them. Now, this next piece that I want to say is really important. It's one of the most important things today. We as coaches cannot make any client do anything. Period. We cannot make a client do anything. That's an important part of our mindset as coaches, and back to the energetics that we need to come back to. It doesn't matter how masterful we are. It doesn't matter how magical we are. It doesn't matter what kind of sophisticated tricks we've got in our bag of tricks and tools and all the things that I'm teaching you in this program. The only way that a client is ever going to take action on something, the only way is if the client wants to. When I first started out as a coach, I fell into the trap of thinking that if I, as the coach, wanted it bad enough for the client, and if I were just to like pull them along, that they would do it. And let me tell you, not only did it not work, it was so super exhausting. So, for me, as early as the sales call, like the prospect call, I share this with my client, like I'm not going to be able to get you to do anything. You have to want it. And I want to make sure that I say this so that I can really normalize this for everyone and so that you don't judge yourself if you ever have a client that just isn't being accountable. I just want you to know that I 100% have had a couple of clients over the years who were not accountable. So it happens to everyone, right? We've looked at every fear, every shadow, every limiting belief, every habit, everything. And I wasn't doing, as the coach, I wasn't doing anything wrong, wasn't doing anything not right enough. For those few clients over the years, in their hearts, they really just, they didn't want it. They didn't want it. They didn't want to take the action. So I want you to really just throw away the notion right now that you as the coach are some kind of God-like figure that can will your clients to do things. It's not going to serve you and it's not going to serve your clients. Of course, we want to use all of our tools to co-create accountability, to leave no stone unturned, to be really masterful, but in the end, it's ultimately not up to us as the coach. It's really about our client. And one thing that I often like to say to clients is, I can tell you about the river. I can tell you where the river is. I can tell you the best ways to cross the river. I can hold your hand and I can lead you to the edge of the river. And I can even walk side by side with you across the river, but what I can't do is take you on my shoulders and carry you across the river. Okay, so we're ultimately on this call going to get to specific ways to create accountability, but I want to spend a little bit more time. We've already kind of started just looking a little bit about the mindset that we as coaches need in order to be really effective at creating accountability in the container, and I want to look a little bit more at the inner pieces for us. First, so you don't want to, this is one really important mindset piece for us as coaches. You never want to make your client's results or your client's taking action about you. I know that this is obvious, right? We've looked at this in little ways here and there before in this training. It's not about us as coaches. But what can oftentimes happen if we're not on top of our own energetics as coaches is we'll have a client that isn't taking action, that isn't being accountable, that isn't doing the thing, and we will make it about us, right? I'm not a good enough coach. I haven't done the right thing. All the things I was just talking about, right? The second that you start to make it about you, or the second that you start judging yourself, of course, you always want to be masterful in your skills and tools and look at, you know, what else can you do to help, right? But as soon as you start making it about you, then it's no longer about your client, and you're not fit to serve them in the best ways that you can, right? So I know it's obvious, but you don't want to make it about you. Now, here's the next thing I want to share. And again, this is, I know it's another obvious one, but it's so easy to slip into this if you're not watching for it. You don't want to make your clients taking action or achieving results for you. You don't want in the conversation or in the energetics for it to be that they're doing it for you. Now, of course, they're not doing it for you, right? Like I said, it's obvious. But here's why I'm pointing this one out. It goes back to family dynamics. There are some parents, and you may know this from your own family, there are some parents that when they would like their kid to do something or achieve something, that they turn it in that, without even realizing it, the kid is going to do it for them. And they think that it's helpful. They think that it's motivating, but it's actually not at all, right? So, for example, if you get it, you get an A on the test, do it for mommy, right? Or it'll make me so happy if you don't eat sweets today, right? Or, you know, whatever it is. Because there are so many people that grew up achieving goals or taking action in part for their parents, they're going to possibly project that onto you as the coach. And you want to make sure that you're totally clean and not slipping into those kinds of things. And I've heard of coaches saying, like, if you don't, oh, you know, it's been 3 weeks and you still haven't done X action. If you don't do it for yourself, do it for me, right? That is not a good strategy. The next mindset piece that's so super important when it comes to helping clients create accountability, mindset piece for us as coaches, is it goes back to filters. We want to be really conscious of our filters around accountability. So, for example, you might be a get-it-done gal, right? You might be someone who just you put your mind to something, you set the time to do it, and just above all else, you're going to get it done. Because that's just who you are, or that's your work ethic, or whatever it is. If you're a get-it-done gal, that is awesome. I'm a little bit of a get-it-done gal, and it's great. It's such a great quality to have in some ways. But if you are, check your filters, because not all of your clients are going to be get-it-done people. And sometimes when you're a get-it-done person, you forget how difficult it can be for someone to just introduce, like, one new action or one new task. It might be really easy for you to say, okay, I know that I'm eating too much sugar. The sugar is not good for me. I'm going to cut out all processed sugars. And it's like starting the next day. You're just in it, right? But for other people, it may be harder. If we don't check our filters around something like that, we're not going to end up really hearing and seeing our client, and it's going to be harder to help hold them accountable. The opposite may be true as well. You might be someone who just, you do things slower. You commit to something, but then it takes 2 or 3 weeks before you actually, like, marinate on it, process it, feel spiritually ready to take the action, right? You do it slower, which may totally work for you. And if it does, that's awesome. But again, always remember to check your filter, because you might be that kind of person, but you might be working with a client that's a get-it-done person. And if you're going by your own standards of getting things done without really knowing what their standards are, you're not going to hold the right amount of accountability for them. So in other words, the other piece of this is always going back to coaching the who, and the who is being based on the what, right? But the who, not the what. So accountability needs to be measured based on the who, not on the what. I'm going to say that again. Accountability must be measured based on the who, not the what. Again, because if you've got a get-it-done person, accountability is going to look really different for that person than if you have a slower-paced person, right? And we can just go back to all the different paces that we looked at in our strategizing module way back when. Remember, we looked at the consistent doers. We looked at the deep thinkers and processors. We looked at the tipping pointers. We looked at the doers that need a lot of breaks, right? So how you hold accountability is really going to be based on who your person is and what their paces are. Okay, we're going to go deeper into some inner work in a sec, but I've been talking a lot. Let me just pause here for a moment. Anyone have any questions on this so far? You may not, but I just want to check in. Star 2. Any questions so far on what we're talking about? No? Okay, good. There are questions. I had a feeling. Okay, good. Sophia.
Hi. I just wanted to ask which module was the consistent doers, tipping pointers, and the ones that need a lot of breaks? I actually remember talking a lot about this. Yeah,
it was in the visioning and strategizing module. I forget the number.
Okay.
I don't know it offhand now, but okay. Yeah, just look for the visioning and strategizing. I think it was the first call in that module.
Oh, okay. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you're welcome. Yeah, it's great to go back and review those. And I think I have them on one of the worksheet handouts too, or the resource sheets. I lay out all of them, so you can look for that if you don't want to listen to the whole call again.
Oh.
Okay, great. Kara.
Hi, Joanna.
Hi.
I had a question around working with client expectations for accountability when you have people who are slower, who might not know that when we get started.
Mm-hmm.
So in my case, you know, I have a 6-month program and we set out sort of a list of things that they'll accomplish. And you know, the people that have gone much slower have gone deeper.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in the case of a 6-month program. And we went really deep, but we only got to one.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're going to be talking about that. And we've briefly talked about it as we've gone, but I was just curious how you work with managing expectations kind of as you go with people so that there's not a sense at the end of the program that we didn't have the breakthrough or accomplish what we had planned to.
Yeah, it's such a great question. So, you know, accountability aside, right, like if the person is actually being accountable and working at the pace that's right for them and going as deep as what's right for them, but it's slower than what they expected, there's a couple of things. So first of all, that's one of the things I take into consideration as early as the sales call, as early as the prospect
mm-hmm.
call. I never try to I try to underpromise. I mean, it's still make it sound awesome, right? But I'm listening. I'm using my deep listening skills as I'm asking about their gap and about their vision.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I'll ask, you know, like, are you someone that tends to get things done really quickly? Are you someone that needs to take more time to integrate? So I'll try to at least begin to really address that even as early as the sales call so that I can tell them what I think is possible for them the contract that we're looking for. Now, sometimes it's hard to know from one conversation, right? But, you know, because the client may not even know themselves yet. really.
Yeah.
So sometimes you can set out certain expectations in the beginning, and then it will become apparent in the first month or the second month that they're going at a slower pace than what you had originally spoken about, and that that slower pace is right for them, right?
Mm-hmm.
If it's not
mm-hmm.
right for them,
mm-hmm.
As we look more at accountability today, we're going to, you know, look at those things. But if the pace is right for them and you see that a month in, 2 months in, you want to address it as soon as you see it. You want to
mm-hmm.
create awareness around it. And, you know, what you want to say is something like, you know, we're a month in or we're 2 months in and you have already accomplished so much, right? So first you want to celebrate and you really
mm-hmm.
want to identify the amazing things that they're doing. And you want to say, and you know, you're actually in these topics or in these things that you've accomplished, you've gone so much deeper than what we originally spoken about because you've blah, 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 you know, whatever the subject matter is. You want to get into those details and
mm-hmm.
what has existed in all of that. And then from there you want to say, you know, because we've gone so deep, the outer actions are going to take a little bit longer than we had originally set. And I
mm-hmm.
know, or you may not even want to say it so definite, but you could say my sense is that it may take longer than we originally
mm-hmm.
set.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that this is a perfect pace for you because, and then share what you know about that client
mm-hmm.
and why you think it's a perfect pace. And then from there, you want to say, now we can accelerate this if you really want to. I think you might lose out on X or Y if we do. They want this to work for you. How do you want to proceed?
Mm-hmm.
And then
yeah.
they'll either agree, yes, this pace, or they'll say, no, I really need ABC. And if they do, then you can say, okay, great. Here's what I think is realistic. And here's how you're going to have to do things a little bit differently in order to get there.
Mm-hmm.
What are you hearing in this that feels important for you, Kara?
Yeah, just the enrollment conversation, setting expectation feels like the most important thing. And then, I mean, with this particular client, we have talked about it in a way, but what I really like and what you just laid out is a choice,
mm-hmm.
Where they acknowledge what's happening and they feel like, you know, they are choosing to go slower. It's not
mm-hmm.
that, you know, something's not working or there's something wrong with them. And you know, and I think in that choice, and this is what I've seen is like when people actually choose to go deeper, once we get through the deeper stuff, the external stuff can actually go faster, but I also don't want to
yeah.
promise that either.
Yeah,
I have a tendency to want to promise that, so I'm just catching myself in that too.
Yeah, I think that's super important, right, from the get-go.
Mm-hmm.
And then the tracking, right? Like, my thing is, like, I'm always going to be honest and be clear with a client as we progress through things about what I see for them and where I see they're going and what their choices are. And so long
mm-hmm.
as I'm clear on that and celebrating with them,
right,
what either has been accomplished or, like, who they are in their pace, unless I see it as a mismatch, right? The actions are actually a mismatch. They should be going faster, right? So as long as I do that, then it's all going to work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, great question.
Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. So let's continue on. I want to do a little bit more on the mindset piece and the inner work piece before we get to strategies. I want to ask you, we're going to do some journaling. The reason why I'm asking you these journaling questions, aside just from your own personal growth and awareness, is, again, the reason why I always do is just so that you can understand a little bit more the human nature around this. so that when you work with your clients on accountability, you can really, you can see them fully. So first question, on a scale of a 1 to 5, how accountable are you usually without outside help? So 5 would be like you're super accountable. You don't need outside help at all on accountability, on getting things done that you want to get done. 1 is you suck at it. And if it's helpful for you, you can break this down into categories. Like for me, there are certain things that I'm completely accountable on my own without outside help, oddly with business stuff. Unless it's something I have a lot of resistance to, I can just, like, go, but get me to doing things around the house, totally, just, I'm awful at it, right? So you can either just do it as a general, how accountable are you without outside help, scale of 1 to 5, or if you want to break it down into some categories for yourself, you can do that too. Just so that you get a sense of, like, where your accountability meter is. All right, next question, scale of 1 to 5, how accountable are you with outside help? So when you've got outside help, how accountable are you then? 5 is like then you're super accountable, and 1 is it's still hard when you've got outside help. And, you know, outside help isn't just coaches, right? Maybe you've got a buddy. Maybe you've got have friends or family members that help hold you accountable. John and I try to hold each other accountable with going to bed at a decent hour. Maybe you use reminders or alarms or apps or, you know, whatever it is, right? Right, next question. This is kind of this is an interesting one, I think. What's your personal work ethic? And the reason why this is important, and this is something that I oftentimes as a coach try to understand about my client or help create awareness around, you know, define with my client, help them get clear on what their work ethic is. Because, again, work ethic is a filter, right? There's some people that just have a Puritan work ethic, you know, like a commitment is a commitment is a commitment is a commitment, or they're going to work until they get it done without taking a rest, or, you know, whatever the work ethic is, right? But we want to try to remember that there's no right or wrong in terms of work ethic. It's just all our filters, right? And what our personal ideas and beliefs are around that. So what's your personal work ethic? Let me give you another moment on that one. So like for me, my work ethic is pretty, it's strong, almost sometimes to a fault, which is why it's easy for me to be accountable when it comes to my business, but much harder for me to be accountable sometimes to more personal things. Like it takes 2 months to make a doctor's appointment sometimes. Okay, next question. Growing up, how were you held accountable? So maybe it was about homework or cleaning your room or practicing piano or being kind to others, all whatever it was. But growing up, this goes back to a little bit what I was talking about parents before, right? So how were you held accountable? And think inner and outer. And when I say that, I mean, so literally, how were you held accountable? Did you get rewarded or punished if you didn't do things? Was there a chart? You know, those kinds of things. And then the inner is more, we can look at the inner now too. Like, what were their motivations? What's the energy that you felt as they were holding space for you to be accountable? Did it feel pushy, aggressive, desperate? Did it feel spacious and kind? Did it feel punishing? Did it feel judgmental? Did it feel just open and loving? Right? So just take a minute and to just explore, how are you held accountable, outer and inner? Were you held accountable by being compared to others? And then last question, you know, based on all that we've been looking at and all of the questions I've asked, what is your biggest block to holding yourself accountable or to being accountable? What's your biggest block? All right. So I'd love to hear from a few of you, what came through in the journaling? What are you seeing that's important for you when it comes to accountability? Star two. What are you noticing? Tina.
Hi, Joanna.
Hi.
So it was really interesting because I do have a problem with sometimes being accountable with myself, but I seem to really need that from my kids and my husband and, you know, like other people in my life. It's really interesting. And I think it really kind of hit home when you said, what was it in your outer and inner world growing up? I think it kind of went back to that for me. I realized I have very A-type parents, and they were very strict, very old school, you know, coming from, you know, immigrant parents. And you know, being rewarded for hard work was like it, but it felt very aggressive, pushy, and tight. So for me, it didn't feel like there was much room for flexibility, and so I was suffocated by it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, that's such a big deal for me. And that's why I'm like, in my inner world, I do find myself kind of feeling at times I'm hard on myself when I'm really not following through. Like, that's my weakness. I might be a great starter, but I'm like, oh, well, maybe it's because I just need to change the way I hold myself accountable rather than being like, well, it has to be this way. Right?
Yeah.
And then I feel like I'm lacking in perfectionism. You know what I mean? It goes on and on.
Exactly. Yeah, it's such a, so I'm so glad you can see this. This is exactly why I'm asking these questions, you know, for yourself, but then also for clients. This is such a great example of if you have a client that comes from a background where there was a lot, there was strictness. And there was inflexibility around accountability, they may, without even be realizing it, be fighting against and protesting against any structure that's going to be too tight or too strict, right? They're probably being strict on themselves, but they may, not for everyone, but they may need a looser kind of structure so that they can feel the pleasure in accountability, you know, so that they can feel some more spaciousness.
Yeah, exactly. And I realized when I wrote, when you said in your inner world, like, you know, I was like, oh, I always did better when I did things differently. It felt looser.
Yeah. So for you, and this is great for us to think about clients, like for you, because of your background, when you're not holding your, when you're not being accountable to the things that you want to be accountable, what, one of the things I would ask is, how am I being too strict here? How can I actually loosen this up in order to make it more doable for me? For some people, you need to tighten it up, and then for others, it's about loosening it up. Make sense?
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. Beautiful. Great. I'll take one more share here. Joanna.
Hi. I just wanted to mention that I feel like my style of my biggest block to really holding myself as accountable is somehow that I'm rationalizing that the journey is important also, not just the goal. And so I feel like that that's actually true somewhat, but I can also take too much time to get to the goal, although I have accomplished a lot. But
Yeah, I love this. This is such great awareness, right? Because it, yes, it is about the journey, right? And the process, 100%. But sometimes we can use that truth or that very wise statement as an excuse to just not get done the things that we're really ready to take action on. So I'm so glad you can see that, and I'm so glad you're calling yourself out on it. And so, you know, with that awareness, now you can start to ask yourself that question, you know, when things aren't getting done in the timeline that you would like for them to, you can say, you know, am I applying that belief a little bit too extremely here?
Yeah. Thank you for reflecting that back.
Yeah.
And raising that a notch. Okay.
You're welcome. Great. Okay, good. So last inner piece before we look at some more like concrete strategies, but this is an important piece. I want to make sure I say it. Some clients can get triggered when you're working to hold them accountable, because when they were younger, they were shamed at some point, either by parents or teachers, or even when they were older, by employers, siblings, whatever it is, but because they were shamed at some point for not being accountable enough. And I think we all know, right, whether this has actually happened to us personally or not, just the ways, and sometimes it can be so subtle that people can be shamed when they're not accountable. And, you know, again, just to normalize everything, you know, for as aware as I am around all of this and for as much as I work at it, there have been a couple of instances where I've caught myself in the middle of, like, subtly shaming my daughter for not doing homework or whatever it is, you know, and it, like, it pains me, right? Like, you can say it out loud, but I'm just sharing it with you guys because it's something that we need to be aware of, both in case our clients have had that experience, but also, like, just what are we bringing in as coaches, which we think are good. Like, in those moments where I've shamed my daughter, and thank God, she's so expressive that she's like, Mommy, you're shaming me right now. Our clients may not be so helpful for us in this. But, you know, in those moments, I was genuinely trying to help her because I cared so much, right? But I was just bringing some old structures back in, and I wasn't being aware. So for some people, they maybe experienced a power over in their accountability structure. And what I mean by that is whoever was trying to provide the accountability weren't playing with an equal playing field. They weren't approaching with an equal playing field. It was a power over. And so your job as coach is to not only help hold clients accountable to what they desire, but to help change their internal accountability structures from power over to empowered together. From power over, it's not that you have any power over the client, right? That's where some of the shaming sometimes might come in, but that the two of you are empowered together to hold this accountability structure for the client. And a big piece of this, as the coach, is to help your client build a sense of ownership in their goals and in their desires and in their commitments. So this also goes back, it's all related, but it's about not making it about you or for you, right? For people that, when they were younger, whoever was in authority, they were making the actions and the accountability about them for them, then these clients may not know how to take ownership of their projects, of their goals, of their desires, of their commitments. So as part of all of this, as we look at tools and structures that you can use, I want you, as you work with your clients on accountability, to be conscious and aware of how you talk about how they're going to be accountable, to make sure you're not bringing in the shame, you're not bringing in the for you, you know, all of the pieces we've been talking about. And I also want you to be conscious and aware of what archetype you're showing up as. In other words, what energy are you holding these accountability structures with? Are you going to hold, for some clients in certain moments, you're going to hold like a mother, right? Ideal mother who's just totally loving and totally nurturing and, you know, providing the spaciousness, all of that. That's something that probably Tina would need from a coach, holding an accountability structure. For another client at another moment, maybe what that client needs is for you to show up holding accountability structures as the fierce warrior, right? Where you're not shaming them, for sure not. You're not being overly aggressive, but you're taking a hard line stand for them on what's going to happen next. Okay. So all that being said, let's look at tools and structures, and I have them divided into two buckets or two categories. One is preemptive, so things you can do before someone starts slacking in their accountability, things you can do beforehand to you know, so that they stay on track. And then the second bucket are things that, tools that you can use when there hasn't been action and commitment and accountability. Okay, so in terms of the preemptive tools and structures for accountability, we want to understand what motivates accountability. The more that you as the coach can really be aware of what's going to motivate accountability, then you can create the awareness and you can ask the questions to start to create it. So one of the main things that motivates accountability are desire and need. When a client can see that they really desire something, or when they can see that they really need something, they can really feel the desire, really feel the need. That's a way to already start creating accountability. So how do you help them see the desire and the need? There's a little bit can happen. You know, we looked at this a little bit as part of the visioning process, right? But you can ask questions like, why is this important to you, right? You want to meditate every day. Why? Why is this important to you? Or what will happen for you if you take action on this or if you accomplish this? Or what makes you happiest when you think about accomplishing this? Or what will be fun about the process of taking action on this? Or why is this a priority for you, right? If a client decides that they want to do a preview workshop, they've never done one before, why? Why is this a priority for you? Or what will happen if you accomplish this, right? So to really connect them with the desire or the need, that's one of the main things preemptively that you can do to create accountability. Another thing that motivates accountability, for better or worse, is pain, right? The pain that you'll feel if you don't do this thing, if you don't accomplish this thing. So in order to connect a client, I know it sounds weird to say in order to connect a client with their pain, but I think you probably know what I mean by this. Like sometimes you want to help connect them to why, right? Like part of like why they really want to do it is for them to see what they don't want, right? So asking questions like, what will things be like if you don't take action on this? Or if you don't move forward on this? Or why are you done with not taking action on this? The next factor that can really motivate someone to be accountable is having them go into the commitment already feeling strong and confident, right? We looked at this when we looked at celebrations. When we're already feeling good, we're oftentimes more likely to keep on taking action to continue feeling good and strong and accomplished. So before, what this would look like to help create accountability is, let's say someone sets a goal like, I'm going to lose 10 pounds. You want to do not only celebrations once they accomplish losing the 10 pounds, but you actually want to look at celebrations at the outset, right? What are the resources that you already have in place that are going to allow you to do this? What do you want to celebrate about yourself as you move in to this goal and this commitment? what have you done in the past that will allow you to do this now, right? We looked at a lot of that when we looked at celebrating, but again, it's worth reminding you, celebration doesn't just happen at the end when something is accomplished. We want to look at strengths and resources in the beginning. And then the thing that goes hand in hand with that, another motivator for accountability is believing that you can do it, right? And that it's doable. So again, asking what are the kinds of resources that you have available to get this done? Why is this the perfect goal for you right now? Why do you know that you can do this? Some other questions for that might be, what will make this easier for you? What will make this easiest for you? What help do you need to get this done? The next motivating factor for accountability that you might want to slip in preemptively is the more that people, that clients are clear about the task at hand, they're clear, the more that they're clear on the actions that they need to take, and the more that they're clear on the process that they're going to go through, oftentimes the easier it's going to be for them to be held accountable. Because sometimes when they're unsure, it can create fear. So just simple, one of the best questions just to ask is, you know, what are the actions that you're going to take on this week? If you remember back to strategizing, when I taught you about blueprinting, a client may not need to blueprint out, you know, how they're going to meditate every day. But if it's something that's a more complicated project, blueprinting it out can be really helpful. Another really great tool, such an obvious one, I do this all the time, is, okay, so you said you're going to journal 3 times over the next week. Awesome. Let's take out your calendar and let's actually schedule in, when are you going to be journaling? Do you have time that day? Like what time on which days, right? I know it's so simple, but sometimes that simple act can help create more clarity on the task at hand, more clarity about the process, and help people get it done. And the other thing around the clarity is simple is all and less is always better. This is true for when you're strategizing, and then also, you know, the accountability is, I never, you know, when I ask a client, okay, what are the actions you're going to take this week? If they give me a laundry list of like 15 different actions that they're going to take, unless it's, you know, like a superwoman, you know, person, like turbo boost to get it done person, when I have a client that lists out 15 things or honestly even 7 or 8 things that they're going to do over the week, I know that I am doing them a disservice if I just say, okay, great, right? That's not holding great accountability. Most people aren't going to do 7 or 8 new things or stretchy things in a week. So if somebody lists all of those things to me, I'll say, okay, you may get all of those done, and if you do, that is amazing. But if we were to pick 2 or 3, like, absolute priorities here that you know no matter what you want to hold yourself accountable to, what are those 2 things? What are those 3 things? Or if it's a client that I know needs 1 thing, I'll say, what's the 1 thing? No matter what, everything else is extra credit, as I sing on top, but what's the 1 thing here? That's really the most important. And then the other thing that helps motivate accountability that you want to slip in preemptively. We've already looked at this in calls past, but it's important here when we look at accountability is when somebody can understand their own fears, when they're willing to be uncomfortable, you know, all of the things. So for some clients, I sometimes like to ask, like, what might get in your, okay, so you're going to, you know, create 2 videos this week. You've never created videos before. What might get in your way? Or what's the excuse that you might tell yourself when you go to do this? We put it in your calendar for Wednesday. Wednesday morning, what's the excuse that you're going to tell yourself on why you can't do it? Or if you find yourself going into resistance, what are you going to do about it? So preemptively, you want to think about all of these things that can motivate accountability, desire and need, pain, celebration and strength, believing that you can do it, that it's doable, clarity, and then, you know, just understanding the fears. Now, the other thing that motivates accountability, and this is really important, it's another one of those obvious things, but it's so important, is knowing that there's someone else who cares and is invested in it with you. In other words, when you know that your coach really cares and is really invested in you being successful or in you achieving your desires or really cares because they believe in you, right? That motivates accountability. Now, that's so different than all of the things we were talking about before that may have come from parental structures or religious structures or societal structures around doing it for you or making it about you or shame or whatever it is, right? But knowing that somebody else really cares and is holding the energy here with you. It's important to them. So things that you can do, you know, around that, I always say to clients, okay, you're going to do X and Y. Will you keep me posted? Okay, like I really want to know before our next session, shoot me an email. Let me know how does it go. And if you get off track, let me know too. It's really not a big deal if you get off track. We'll get you right back on track. Don't wait until day 4. If you see that you're off track on day 2, let me know. Right? So just something as simple as that, you're holding the accountability and you're letting them know that you care. Another way to let your client know that you care, which will again help motivate them, is to proactively check in via email to see how things are going. There are some clients that I do this with really often, especially because I don't meet with clients every week. It's more like every 2 weeks or 3 weeks most of the time. If I don't hear from them, I will check in. And I'll say, hey, you know, how did it go with making that video, right? Or how's it going with getting to sleep by 10 o'clock every night? Or whatever it is. Just having that knowing, again, that I'm holding it with them, that I'm checking it in, that I want to hear, helps. But then also you're creating an accountability structure by saying, keeping me posted, or by you checking in. A couple of other preemptive pieces I want to talk about before we get into what to do when someone just isn't taking action. So this next piece is about physical energy and time and space and support from loved ones in their family or in their friendships or, you know, in their work, whatever it is. So don't underestimate the importance of having physical energy in order to be accountable. Don't underestimate the importance of actually having time and space to get the thing done in order to be accountable. Don't underestimate, for some clients, the support that they need and from their partner, from their kids, from their coworkers, to get something done. If you as the coach know or sense that this is going to be one of these things is an issue for your client, then you want to coach some of this out. So, for example, you know, I have a couple of clients that have some autoimmune issues. And I know that for them, in order to, sometimes they just can't be accountable, right, because they're having a bad week with the autoimmune piece. But in general, in order for them to be accountable, like I know they really want to take the action that they want to take, but in order for them to be accountable, they need to feel like they have the energy, right? So if we're strategizing, we're committing to something that's going to be, you know, big for them, that's going to require energy, I'm also going to coach out with them, how are you going to take care of yourself this week? Not just so that you can take care of yourself, that's an important thing, but so that you can get these tasks done, right? Or what's the child care that is going to, if it's with a parent, right, that has a lot of responsibility with a child, what's the child care that's going to be need to be put in place so that you have the time and space for this? So in order for someone to get something done, it's not just about the thing. It's about the space around the thing, right? A couple of other just quick, easy things preemptively. We spoke about sales calls and, you know, the question that Kara brought up. So from the get-go, you know, I mentioned accountability. In the welcome questionnaire, I ask, how would you like for me to hold you accountable? I'll ask it in the questionnaire. And then I also ask it sometimes just as we're coaching, okay, how do you want me to hold you accountable to this? What would make the most sense here? How can you use me to help you get this done? I like to ask because sometimes I'll say to someone, I don't want to micromanage you, but here's how I'd like to hold you accountable in between now and our next session, right? And I'll tell them I want you to email me every day or, you know, whatever it is. But I always like to ask, like, what's the best way to hold you accountable? And then the pre-call forms or the accountability forms are also just great accountability tools. We looked at that, you know, way back earlier in the program. I always have a pre-call form, and I use it for many reasons. But one is because my client is going to write out what they've accomplished since we were last together. And just having that as part of the container, as a structure of, okay, this is what I said I was going to do, this is what I did do, right? It just helps preemptively create some accountability. Okay, so those are all of the things that you can do, again, preemptively. In a moment, we're going to get to what to do if you do all of those things and someone still isn't taking action. But let me pause here and just see if there are any questions or thoughts or reflections on the pieces that I just shared. Star two. Sophie.
Oh, okay. This is about the overall container of the coaching mm-hmm. program. Is it okay if I ask about that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So right now, as I was listening to your call, I actually, I was wondering since we're, you know, towards the end of the program, I was wondering, you know, I feel like some of the stuff from the beginning, I kind of forgot, you know? And
yeah, there's been a lot.
I feel like sometimes, like, there's this fear that I might mess it up or, you know, I'm not going to get it right. And how would I, and also I feel kind of guilty because I know that I lost a little bit of steam about like in the month of like May-ish. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I'm kind of wondering like what's the best way to sort of make sure you, do you know what I mean? Remember most of what I've learned.
This is a great question. I love it. It's totally related to accountability. So I see why it's coming up now. So here's a few things I'll say for now. So the first is you are going to forget some of it and you are going to mess it up a little bit. And I don't say that as like, but I just say it because we all mess it up. I mess it up sometimes too. Don't expect to forget some bit of it. Expect to mess it up a little bit. The more that you practice, the more that you keep on coming to the practice, the more that you, those focus reports that I shared, like after a coaching session to fill out what did I do well, what didn't I do well, you know, all of that is going to help you continue to improve. It's not done when we're done next month. It's going to be a practice. So that's number one. Number two, you're going to have all of the recordings and the worksheets to continue to go back to, and a lot of people that go back multiple times to some of the recordings. You guys know I pack so much into them. So definitely at your own leisure, go back and listen. If you're enjoying the work that you're doing with your coaching partner, your coaching buddy, I highly recommend continuing to practice. So all of those things are so important. And then a lot of you have stepped in to the coaching mastery circle, which is I've created exactly for the reason that you just brought up, is that, again, difference between breakthrough and transformation. Sacred depths, yes, there are a lot of transformations in your coaching for all of you. You know, I've seen it. But sacred depths is mostly about the breakthroughs, the new tools, the new understandings, the new ways of doing things. If you feel like you want the full transformation to really own the coaching tools, you need the practice and you need the feedback and you need to keep on coming back to it, you come join us for Coaching Mastery Circle, because that's where we're going to be doing all of that, plus going deeper. So
perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's what I needed, because the accountability.
Accountability is about the transformation, not the breakthrough, right? Like the breakthrough is on the coaching session,
right?
And it's sexy and the whatever. The accountability is really the, now let's do the work, right?
So, right.
It's a great question. Awesome. And we can talk more on all of that, too, if you want. Okay?
Perfect. Thank you so much, okay. Joanna.
Yeah, you're welcome. Awesome. Any other questions on the preemptive structures before we look at how to hold accountability after non-action? Start two. All right. So, even when you do all of the things that I just shared with you, there are going to be times that clients still aren't accountable. And that's okay. It's normal. It's totally normal. So always, for me, first line of defense is going to be everything else that we've looked at the last few months in this module. I may befriend your fear process. I may do a rewire negative thoughts process. I may look at shadow. I may look at resistance archetypes. I may look at, myth of perfection, wheel of self-sabotage, all of those tools, right? Those are your first line of defense to really loosen things up if there's non-action. Now, if you've done all of those things and there's still non-action, then the next place where you probably want to go, And not even all of those things. I've done some of those things, and there's still non-action. You know, sometimes I will ask the question, is X, whatever the thing is, meditating every day, getting the video done, right? Whatever it is, putting up this program, you know, whatever it is this still aligned for you? Do you still desire to do this? Do you still want to do this? Now, this can be a very powerful question for someone who hasn't been taking action for a couple of reasons. This is a yes or no question, by the way, right? Remember I said there you don't want to use yes or no questions very often, but there are certain moments where you do. And this is a moment where you want to ask a yes or no question. And the reason why it's really effective and really powerful at that juncture, if someone still isn't taking action, is number one, because it may not be aligned for them anymore. They may have changed or shifted, right? And what you set out just isn't really right. They need a different pathway, right? So, because sometimes what can happen is we set the thing out and then we just beat ourselves up for not doing the thing, but maybe we're not supposed to do the thing anymore, right? So that's one reason and way that question can be really powerful. But the other reason is because, and I'm sure we've all experienced this in one way or another, I would guess that we all have, if it is still aligned, if they still want to do it, then by asking the question of, is this still aligned for you, or do you not want to do this anymore, it can help strengthen their yes. If it really is a yes, the yes or no question can jolt them a little bit back into the yes. If that makes sense. That's you know, I'll ask a variation on that question. Some other things that you can do, to actually ask, why didn't you get X done? I know that sounds so simple, right, and silly, but why didn't you? I'm thinking back even to parenting. You know, you use the parenting metaphor a lot because I think there are a lot of connections. Like sometimes if Tanita didn't do her homework, I skip over the most important question, right? I just go to the you have to do your homework, but sometimes I skip over the, like, well, but why didn't you do the thing, right? Sometimes there's a deeper obstacle, but sometimes it's actually an easy fix that they didn't realize could be easily fixed, and you didn't realize could be easily fixed because you didn't know it was an obstacle, right? So just asking, why didn't you do it? Another thing that can sometimes help is, do you want to adjust the commitment, or do you want to adjust the task, right? You said you were going to meditate every day. It seems like that's maybe at this juncture, maybe not realistic. Do you want to adjust that? Or you said you're going to meditate for 60 minutes every day. It's just you're not finding the 60 minutes at all. Do you want to adjust that to 15 minutes? Would that be a better place to start, right? So seeing how to adjust it. Another strategy that you can use is to break it down into smaller baby steps. Break it down into smaller baby steps. So they didn't do the video, they didn't do the video, they didn't do the video. Okay. You've looked at fears and all of that. They're good. You've asked if it's still aligned. Yeah. So then what's the next thing? Well, maybe doing the video is too overwhelming because there's like, I don't know, 6 steps, 7 steps, 8 steps to doing the video. So let's break this down into baby steps. The first step in doing a video is getting clear on the points that you want to make. And maybe the next step after that is writing the script. Is that doable for this week? Instead of making the whole video, can we get maybe on the coaching session right now, we're going to get clear on the major talking points for that video, and then your homework is going to be to write out the script, or maybe not the whole script, but flesh that out a little bit more, right? So break it down into smaller baby steps. Another thing you can add and layer into that is, I call it the 7-day check-in. So this is not a strategy that you want to use all the time with all of your clients, because if you do, you'll be exhausted and you won't have time for anything else. But it is an okay strategy to use every now and again for some of your clients, the 7-day check-in, which is, let's say the client wants to meditate every day, or let's say they want to do the video by the end of the week, whatever it is, or they want to do X, Y, and Z, or whatever the thing is. So you'll say, for the next 7 days, can you send me an email, just a quick email? This shouldn't take more than a minute each time in the morning and in the afternoon or the evening. And the morning email is just what you want to accomplish for the day. And the end of day email is if you accomplished it or not. Right? And just to do this every day. Can we check in every day? Now, this is a really tight container if you're going to do this for 7 days, right? It's not, you don't want to hold this tight of a container for all of the coaching that you do, because it's too much and it's not going to really teach your client how to take ownership fully for themselves, anything like that. But I do find with some people to really tighten it up for a period of time. Sometimes they only need 3 days, right? But to just really tighten it up for between 3 and 7 days, if they're really having a lot of trouble, it helps them establish a new pattern. So then after that, they can keep on going themselves. It helps them build confidence because they start accomplishing a little bit more every day. So then they continue, right? Strength builds on strength, celebrations, all of that. And also, if they get off track, it's not like you're hearing about it 2 weeks later, but you're hearing about it that day, and you can just help them get back on track for the next day. In extreme cases, I've only done this once or twice, and you only do this if you feel you truly want to, or else it's going to feel like taking over responsibility, but I've only done this once or twice. I've set up a 5-minute conversation with the client every morning for 5 mornings, like Monday through Friday, right? And we just touch base for 5 minutes at the beginning of every day. Again, can't do that all the time at all, but every now and again, it's something that if you're willing to do, it can be really helpful for a short period of time. I'm going to share a couple more things with you, and then I'm sure there might be some questions on this stuff, so we'll open up for Q&A. So another strategy is to get an accountability partner. So you may have another client that is also struggling with accountability, and you think that they may be a good match. I wouldn't do it forever, right, but maybe for 4 weeks, can they be accountability partners? Or do they have a friend, right, that they can be an accountability partner with? And I have a very specific accountability partner protocol. And you know what? I'll share that with you guys so that you can have it for yourselves and you can share it with clients if you want. But it's kind of just like an easy, breezy way to use an accountability partner. So sometimes we just need accountability partners. And some people, it doesn't work for. Like for me personally, I'm not an accountability partner person, but I have a lot of clients that really love it. I'm just making a note to send that to you guys, accountability partner. Okay. Next strategy you might want to think about, this is similar to the accountability partner, but is there somebody at home or in your life that you need some more support from? This goes back to what I was saying earlier, you know, preemptively you want to, if you know it's an issue, you want to make sure that they have support from loved ones. But sometimes if something just isn't getting done, I'll ask, like, can somebody at home support you with this? It's a little bit like accountability partner, but again, you know, can your husband make sure that you take Fridays off? Like, really, it's time just for you, whatever it is. Another strategy is to do it together. Whatever the thing is, can you guys do it together during session time? So I've had clients that have been in, like, deep, deep, deep resistance, for example, to writing and sending outreach letters. And so it's just gotten to the point where I'm like, we're spending this session. I am going to help you word for word write this letter, and I am going to stay on the phone while you send it out person by person. So again, you don't want to do this in a shame way. You don't want to make this for you, about you, whatever. But if it's something that the client really desires and they need more hand-holding, then hold their hand. If I've had clients that have had trouble making videos, I'll hang on the line and they'll make the video, help them meditate, whatever it is. Sometimes this is something that's nice to do if you have a group program or if you have a critical amount of clients. You can actually create a whole get it done day that you invite your clients to or everybody in a program to, and you have accountability days together. So I've done this in both ways, as parts of programs, for example. You know, sometimes we'll have, like, monthly get it done days where everybody has a big project that they want to get done by the end of the day. And we'll meet at the top of every hour from, you know, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. or 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. The way I usually structure it is we'll meet for the first 10 minutes or 15 minutes of the hour, and then they go do a 45-minute work chunk, and then we come back. I've done variations where it's every other hour if they want longer work chunks. So doing something like that can be really valuable. It's nice if you have, you know, a stable of clients to do it quarterly, you know, something like that. Another example of it, this next month I'm going to be teaching the Curriculum Lab, which is a program that's all about creating curriculum in 4 weeks. And what I've been noticing the last couple of times I've taught it is that people are taking in all of the information, but some of them aren't exactly making the time to do the curriculum. So what we've added this time around are Get It Done days every week where I'm just going to be on the line, we're going to come together, we're going to set a goal, and then, you know, it's a couple of hours of just getting it done. You, as the coach or the teacher, the facilitator, don't have to do much. You know, you're there to answer questions, to help them see what their resistances are, to, you know, break things down, whatever it is. But it's about back to container holding, right? It is holding a little bit of a tighter container for a period of time for people to get things done. And then the last strategy, which is kind of seems counterintuitive, but it can be really effective if someone just isn't taking action, is to request that they not do the thing or think about the thing or try to do the thing or contemplate doing the thing. In other words, sometimes people need to just take a break from the commitment or the pressure that they've put on the commitment or the judgment that they've put on themselves about the commitment. And I've seen this be really effective. Like, if someone, it's been a month and they haven't done something, and I'll just say, you know what, we're not even going to talk about this until next month at all. Like, this is going on the back burner. And to just bring in the energy of laxness, again, for someone like Tina, which is talking about strictness or inflexibility, sometimes we need that laxness or like the offbeat to help the client just get themselves off the hook. If they get a break, then they can come back to the commitment with fresh eyes. Okay, so I see we're at time. I want to see if there's any Q&A, but I want to just give you your homework in case you have to hop off. So first piece of homework, I want you to think about something that you really want to get done but you haven't been getting done. I mean, you could just write it down right now. What's something that you've been wanting to get done? Could be professional, could be personal. What is it? I want you to design an accountability plan for yourself around this thing. Design an accountability plan for yourself around this thing and then execute it. If you have clients, if you're working with clients, I want you to take some time this week and think about each client and think about, is there something that the client isn't getting to or isn't being accountable around? You'll know, you know, with clients, it might be something that you've even put out of your mind, but I want you to come back into consciousness. Like, what is it that I know this client wants to be accountable to that has just fallen off? And I want you to bring that into your work with them. Bring it into the picture if it's an appropriate time and see if you can do some of the preemptive accountability structures. If you're working with a coaching partner, coaching buddy, I want you to bring all that came up for you through today's call with your buddy. What are you not holding yourself accountable to? And work to create some accountability in your buddy container, in your partner container, around whatever the thing is. All right. I'd love to hear any last thoughts, any last reflections, takeaways, or any questions that you have. Star 2. Adina.
Hi. I raised my hand a little bit too late the last round of questions.
Oh.
But so my question was in relation to this distinction that you went into between the shaming, all of the category of shaming, actions and statements towards the client, and on the other hand, the expressing that you are in that you care about what they're doing, and whether I understand the distinction, but given how much baggage many people may be bringing to the former category, all of the everything that could be construed to around shaming. Have you had experiences where even when you have been conducting yourself in a way that you feel like is just sort of being a cheerleader and sort of, expressing despair in a way that you feel is appropriate, but that it's been construed as,
Yes, it's such a great question, and it's such a great point that you're bringing up. And that's why I always ask, how can I hold you accountable? So I think I shared this languaging a little earlier on the call, but one thing I often find myself saying is, I'm so excited that you're going to do this. I'm so psyched. I can totally see that you're going to make this happen. I want to help you, but I don't want to micromanage you. I don't want to, do it in any way that's not going to work for you. How can I hold you accountable here? And so that languaging is, I use it specifically to answer the question that you just asked so that I can express my excitement, but I also say, I don't want to push in any way here that isn't going to feel right or good or appropriate for you. So how can I hold you accountable? How would you like for me, or how would you like for me to show up for you here?
Mm-hmm.
Is that helpful?
Okay. Yeah, it is.
Yeah, because I have learned, the hard way, you know, to your question exactly, I have learned the hard way that if I just go into rah-rah or to like, okay, now you're going to email me every day, like whatever it is, that some people can get really triggered by that, or they can feel like I don't trust them and that's why I'm doing it, or, you know, whatever it is. So with some people, I have to tread lightly. With clients that I've had for longer, where we have that deeper relationship, and you know, I've already called them out in ways where they really trust me. I can say, you tell me if I'm getting this right here or not, but I feel like you're going to need some extra help this week. You know, would it be helpful if you emailed me every day, right? So it also, again, coaching the what based on the who and what the relationship is and what you know about the client's patterns. All of that comes into play. Is that helpful?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Great question. Anyone else? Star two. Any last thoughts or any takeaways or any questions before we wrap for today? All right. Oh, there's a question. I'll take it. Kelsey.
Oh, hi, Joanna. Mine was just a super quick comment. Based on our conversation yesterday, and one of the things I'm noticing that came through in this call for me is I wasn't really held accountable as a kid. So, like, I just did my work, and I did it well, and there was no need for accountability. And, and I just always, I'm really self-motivated and all that. But what happens now is I'm getting tripped up and I'm noticing that I don't hold my clients as accountable as I could because I'm kind of used to that. Like, they should just get it done, right? Don't they want to do it? This is why they're paying me.
Kelsey, I just got chills. Like, yeah. I just feel like you hit on something that's going to totally up-level your coaching right now.
Yeah.
With this awareness.
Yeah. And yeah, totally. And I have to email you something afterwards as well, because it just came really clear to me about what my next step is with you. Like, totally became clear on this call, which wasn't clear before. Yeah. So
awesome.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Great.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right, everyone. Thanks just for all that you brought forward. I hope that this was a helpful call. I'd love to hear more takeaways or any other questions that come through this week. Enjoy experimenting with holding yourself accountable in new ways and with your clients. And I will talk to you soon. Bye.